All right, so this class, we're going to kind of switch it up a little bit so it can kind of be something resourceful for whoever is in the room. This class isn't really a lesson. It is more intended to be a workshop of practical outreach in campus ministry. We have a lot of events that we do through campus ministry that have worked well in the past, ones that work well now. And so if you guys are college students or you're going to be in college ministry or you're aspiring to be a campus minister maybe one day, this will be very helpful for your current knowledge. If you guys are already established campus ministers and you guys are just looking for those resources, that's really more what this class is intended to be. And so we're going to try to hit on it in a nutshell. Overall, what this idea of practical outreach on a college campus looks like in your campus ministry, in your context, and I want you guys to be able to take what you guys can from it, no matter what your context is right now. But I did want to start off by just saying, just in general, that you know, a healthy campus ministry will not survive unless it's connected to a healthy church. I know in my experience with campus ministry, working in colleges and working on the college university, there are a lot of college ministries that are very independent, and they work very isolated to the church. But in my experience and in my expertise and in my 15 plus years of campus ministry time along with my wife, what I've tended to find out is that most campus ministries that are not connected to a healthy church do not survive very long. Because what happens is campus ministry was never intended to be a design for college students to have a resource for 4 years and then leave. But campus ministry has always and should always be something that's intended to find college students that are lost in the world and connect them to the family of God. And the family of God extends outside of the college university, and it extends into the church. It extends into the homes and extends into the families. Our campus ministries tend to have a very high retention rate of college students that choose to be found and reached and found into a relationship with God on a college campus, but many of them do not leave after graduation. And when I go to different conferences and we speak on these things, a lot of churches are like, really? Wow, that's crazy. And I'm like, well, what's crazy to me is that people want to leave, you know, after they choose to find a relationship with God in a healthy community. And so connecting them to a healthy church is such an essential piece of the campus ministry in itself, because there's so many assets to the church in general. But even think about it, in a different way. Have you ever heard of a children's ministry church that only little kids are allowed in, right? Have you ever heard of an adults-only church that only adults are allowed in and little kids can't come in at? It's, you know, God's design for ministry was never meant to be an isolated thing, so the campus ministry shouldn't run that way either. We should be very connected to our church, and what we talk about today with events, you're going to find out why it's so essential to have adults involved in your campus ministry, and you need a healthy church to be connected to as we walk through those things. What we're going to be talking about today a lot is just events in general. And I do believe that most events, almost every event that we've ever done on a college campus, if it's done with a genuine heart to seek and save the lost, any event will work on your college campus. And I don't have some secret formula. We are going to talk about a lot of different events that we have done that have worked well over the years. But generally speaking, if you have a genuine heart to seek and save the lost, any event can be a successful event on a college campus. It doesn't matter if it attracts a few dozen or a few thousand. If the heart and the intention of every disciple is there and it's working well, the event will be a success. We have to really define our measure of success when we're talking about events on a college campus and practically outreaching to people, really what our definition of a success is. Is it that we draw a crowd, or is it that we are saving lives? Because if your definition is to save lives, you can run an event and only have one person saved, and it will be an incredible success. Much, much more than an event that runs 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, and nobody's connected to Christ. And so our expectations and our definitions of what a successful event or what practical outreach really looks like on a college campus really needs to be defined from, first and foremost, the leadership of the campus ministry, and then that to be to be passed down through your ministry, so everyone has the same expectations, clear goals of what we have as expectations of our church, what we have as expectations of our campus ministry, and what we want to execute on a college campus. We've done a lot of different things in the past, and if you guys ever have questions as I'm talking, don't be afraid to raise your hand. Don't be afraid to write something down. We'll leave some time at the end for Q&A too, but we've done lots of events over the years. For this, and some of these events, you know, our biggest thing over in Collinsville, the Crossings Church Collinsville, I'm the campus minister over there. My wife and I serve on a lot of college campuses over there at SIUE and SWCC and McKendree. And yeah, I knew it was coming. Lewis and Clark, we have some students to go there. So we have three or four college campuses in our general area that we have students that have enrolled in. We tend to have SIUE as our hub. That a lot of those other colleges are community colleges, and they tend to draw crowds off of those college campuses. If you've ever been a part of a community college, it is more like a day job or prison. You know what some people would say is you kind of go, you clock in, you clock out. You're not really there for student life, but you're there to get your gen eds done. You're there just for your scheduling time, but there's not really a huge campus life. So we tend to have those outside universities or outside community colleges connect to the local university, which is the hub of SIUE where we're at. And there are a lot of our events are ran at SIUE because that's where we have our biggest draw. That's where we have the largest amount of our students. And that's where we have a lot of students that really want to live and have the experience of campus life more so than just the day job of driving to and from campus. Some of the events that we have done over the years, we'll talk about these a little bit later, but Fall Fest is our biggest event that we do at SIUE. We have done the Root Beer Kegger that I know I heard Maria talk about earlier. We'll talk about that a little bit too. We've done things called the Flower War. We've called things Dodgeball on Ice, 80 Skate Nights. We've done something in the past called Glow-in-the-Dark Bracelet Tag. We've done a lot of, and these are some.
That's my favorite game.
Oh, no. Is Katie going? Katie's on. Where's our media people? Does she have a red mic? Does it need to be turned on?
Yeah.
She's on the worship minister, too. She should know better.
It was just a button I had to push. I was just saying Glow-in-the-Dark Tag was my favorite game. That's
yeah.
All.
And so, it's my favorite game. She just wanted to say something there. But why don't you talk a little bit about just some of the events that, like, really you remember from your time on campus whenever you were a student yourself?
Yeah, so glow-in-the-dark tag was definitely one of them. You know, you had to put strict boundaries on me because I ended up being too aggressive and kind of got lost in the game versus the purpose. And then there was the Flower War, and these are bigger ones. So I remember the Flower War being inside Carrie's office, and we were packing, like these tiny napkins. You'd have to unfold them so that it was the thinnest layer possible, because otherwise you're getting jacked in the face with a hard flower bomb, and that would hurt. So you wanted to make it explosive. So it took all day, and we'd have like these fourth cup scoopers that we would then make sure it's in the center, wrap it up nicely. And it genuinely took all day. There was probably like, I don't know, I'd say 15 to 20 people in just the office space. I don't think anyone was there at this time. Oh yeah, you were. Okay. Okay. So it would take all day. We would get to the Flower War. It lasted less than 15 minutes. So this is one of the memories that we have, but it would draw people in. I remember things like the spa night, and that was just for the girls, and it was inside, I want to say Nichols, at Lindenwood. And we would do like a miniature spa for people, and it was fun. I remember there's some fun games that we played, and there were some fun nicknames that came out of that one. So if anybody's curious, ask me later. I remember things like that, but I also, the Root Beer Kegger, obviously, huge one for campus. I did grow up in the church, though, too, and so whenever I think of practical application, I do feel like that was one of the things that my mom, I really do believe, set very like standardized in our life of like, okay, what is something that we can do to implement or not implement, sorry. What is something that we can do to kind of draw people in and make it so that people feel comfortable, they feel like they're welcome here. So I even remember things like Gilmore Girl Nights. I think even whenever we moved over to SIUE's area, we started doing like Galentine's parties, painting parties. I don't know what that one is. Thank you, Joyce, for nodding. but we did things like that. I remember we would have Riverdale nights at our house. That was before the show got really weird.
And then we stopped Riverdale nights.
So like, it was like
everybody's watching on campus, and we're like, we're not going to watch this anymore on campus. It got real weird real
it was,
fast.
I was going to say, it was a good one season.
Yeah.
And then we had, I remember that Haunting of Hill House. We had something like very specific to that time, too.
Stranger Things
nights. All right, 7:30. Yeah. you're coming over. Recently, there was like a Cinco de Mayo party that happened on a weekend, and I was like, we're not missing this opportunity for street tacos. Gather all your friends. Mm-hmm. Let's go. We're joining at the house. And so it's just little things like that, little or big. I think it can just depend on the scale and the planning that can kind of go into it. But finding practical application of, okay, this is something that people really like and are drawn to. We're going to do this now. And this is, we're going to get it done in a timely manner, or this is going to take 3 to 4 months to plan in order to execute well.
Yeah. And like we've done so many different things. One of the very first events we did at SIUE was a UFC fight night, and it was one of the bigger fights. It was the Conor McGregor fight, and I don't remember which one it was, but it was a very big fight. And SIUE shut us down. And they were like, you're not going to watch it on our college campus. You're not going to watch it on the university. Because we're like, let's just do it in the middle of the hub of campus. There will be thousands of kids that want to watch this fight. And they were like, no, there's going to be copyright streaming, all those different things. You can't do it on the hub. But we found that SIUE's apartments gave us the okay. But we found out that they didn't get the okay from the university. So we're like, well, as long as you don't tell, we won't tell. And we ended up doing this in the upperclassmen apartments. There was like a multi-room that we did it at, and we had a giant projector on, and we thought, we just moved on the church plant, remember this, so we had like 8 college students that were actually disciples at this time, and we showed up to this thing, we're like, all right, let's grab like 10 pizzas, let's grab like, you know, a cooler of drinks and whatever it may be, and people just kept coming, and they kept coming, and they kept coming, and there was probably 100, 150 people in this room by the time this fight started. And then the cops showed up. And I was like, oh my gosh, our first event on campus, we're gonna get shut down. And the guy says, hey, there's like 5 of them. They said, hey, you guys got the fights going on, I heard, right? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, can we come watch? And I was like, yeah, and we got food, we got pizza, there's not a lot, but you guys come on in. And then I like took like a photo of everybody and be like, evidence just in case, because the cops showed up and they didn't say nothing, so we're not gonna get in trouble, you know? And I remember that, and our original ministry was like, that was a moment for us to realize like we could do some things that are very bold that may stand out on the college campus. We may not get everybody's support, everybody's backing, but we drew a huge crowd. And our whole intention there was not to watch that fight. It was to be able to meet and connect to new people on the college campus. And we started that campus ministry, you know, I don't know, 7 years ago with 6 or 7 college students that left this area to move to that area, to enroll in that college campus, to start a campus ministry. And we started with small events. And over the last 7 years, we've probably baptized over 60, 70 college students. Most of them have graduated and now are serving in our adult ministries, in our small groups, in our churches. Many of them are married now to other members of our church. Many of them have kids now in our children's ministries. And we've just been able to develop our church in an entirely different way because of how we've chosen to do events in our campus ministry and how intentional we were. And so that's why campus ministry, when TC and me were talking about how important it is very important to the health of a church, but it's so important to know that there's so much intentionality that can go along with that. So what we want to talk about was just a little bit about the events themselves. We can talk at the end more about describing some of the events, but I just kind of want to talk more about today this practical outreach idea of what should be some clear expectations of what should happen before an event, what should be going on during an event, what should be happening after an event. If you want to have the circulation of healthy events, no matter what the event is, these things should be staples that happen in your outreach to make it very practical that these are things that we can do to make sure that our events go well, but that it's not just they're going well, but that we're making disciples from these events. We've done lots of events in the past that have drawn hundreds and hundreds of people, and not one person's been saved because of that. And it's okay to not have somebody saved, if you want to say it like that, or not somebody seek Christ from that, but you are still planting seeds if you can do these things the right way. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was just this clear expectations of what do you expect from your events? We've done events, like Katie talked about, that have drawn just a few dozen, whether it be at our house, like a Stranger Things night, or a certain show's out, or whatever it may. We've done events that have drawn hundreds of people, like that UFC fight night, or a championship game. You know, the Cardinals are actually really good at baseball, and the Cubs suck. So we have a lot of very good World Series that we've been through. The Blues have been really well in the past few years. We've had a lot of Blues things that have happened. The Chiefs have been really, really good the last few years. So we get a lot of very good championship game opportunities to invite people in. But we also have events that draw thousands. We've talked about the root beer kegger. When the root beer kegger was popping on Lindenwood University, it had like a live band, and it was drawing thousands of people. Our Fall Fest at SIUE started with our first year; it only had about, you know, maybe 70 or 80 people that showed up. But our purpose was the same every single year, and we built on that. And this last year, I would say that we probably had a healthy 1,500 people at our Fall Fest over 6 years of developing that event. And so any event, it doesn't matter if it draws a dozen or a thousand, the clear expectations of what you want to have should be very important.
Yeah, so I do really feel like Jake's really good at planning. Like, I honestly think this is a natural gift of his, and I'm so very grateful for it. I know that there are a few church planners inside of this room, and so I wouldn't say that my natural inclination is planning on anything. Honestly, too, if I can default to this one, I will. But I think because of the fact we did church plant, and then it was like, okay, the people I would typically rely on to kind of make this event happen and into something good, they're not there anymore. So you kind of just have to adjust and really work hard to develop skills that you don't necessarily think that you're naturally inclined to do. And so that was me with planning. And so I did kind of take like more, I did honestly like a lot of research into it and try to develop those skills. But I think sometimes a weakness for me and Jake is the fact that we can get so distracted of like, okay, let's talk about the tasks that we're doing and let's talk about how we can execute this well and make sure that it's really done in the best way that it's possible. Even when it comes to like budgeting, time management, all that stuff. So we really put a lot of thought into it. But I think along the way, it can be really easy to lose the purpose behind it of, okay, so why are we doing this? But what is the whole intent of what we're really working towards? And so one of the things that I really want to make sure that we're doing is whenever we're talking about the pre-gaming, basically, of the event, I want to make sure that, like, we are depending on God. Because at the end of the day, like, yes, these skills, maybe we've developed them, whatever. Maybe they were born with it, I don't know. But I know, without a doubt, for me, like, I wouldn't have this skill if it wasn't for the purpose of, like, pleasing and honoring God's kingdom. And so I want to give that credit of being like, okay, at the end of the day, it's God's event. It's something that God is going to provide opportunities for. So making sure that I'm really praying for it, making sure that I'm fasting for the event that we're planning, making sure that like I'm communicating with my people of like, okay, let's make sure that we're praying together. There can be prayer walks. I think of like even whenever we talk about schools and schools events that we're trying to do, I know a good idea is to go around the campuses and make sure that you're praying like a good 7 days before that you're going into the actual execution of the event. And I honestly think TC and Marie did a fantastic job of this, but remembering the fact that like the whole reason why we're doing it is for the hurting people out there and for the people that are still needing to find God and having a heart for those people. So like if I'm able to execute things well, that's great. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if I don't love people. And so really evaluating my heart of like, okay, I need to make sure that I am still valuing this person, valuing the people that are coming into this and making sure that like they are feeling loved by what I'm doing. Not just that it was a good event, not just that it was something well done, but I want them to walk away feeling loved and knowing that I genuinely love that person in my heart. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are some expectations with these events, like Katie was talking about, that some events have gone well just being thrown together last minute because some things are out of our control. You know, like if there's an outdoor event that you plan and it starts to pour that night, you can't control that and you've got to throw some things together last minute. Sometimes if there's some like a championship game and it's or a playoff game and it leads to a championship game that's local and like you don't have control over knowing who's going to win or lose. So like there's a lot of events that get thrown together last minute and you have to make some changes and accommodations. And I would definitely encourage you to have somebody in your back pocket that you can call that has experience with last minute things to help with those things. I don't know how many times I've called Carrie and been like, hey man, like I had an event this week, but this just happened. You know, our band had to drop out or the weather looks like it's terrible. Like what have you done in the past? Like having resources of people that can help with those things. Because the things that are out of our control, you know, you can only do the best with what you can do. But for the most part, when it comes to planning campus events, many things are in our control, and we can plan things well, and we can set things out because there is a lot of things we should strive for with excellence in our campus ministries too. Like your first impression of somebody coming to one of your events is the first impression of maybe what they're going to see in a relationship with God. And if they see your events are very sloppily put together and they don't appreciate, you know, the things that you guys see at the events, or they see that it's not being done well, or the event's already running but half of it's not even there yet, and people are going to leave those events and being like, what a drag.
I even think of, like, whenever we're talking about the smaller things that we do inside houses.
Yeah.
Like, if you try to invite people into your house, but, like, your house is a disaster and it's not, like, well put together or anything like that, and it can tell, like, you don't take care into this, like, people can feel uncomfortable by that. So really thinking of the preparation of, okay, I'm going to make sure that, like, I'm presenting something that I know that I've worked hard to present good.
Yeah. So for you ministers out there, or people who aspire to be ministers, there is some things, some even larger benefits that you will have to take the time to plan some things out that I learned. I'm going to describe Fall Fest for us because that's been our largest event, and that's something that takes a lot of time. But as a minister, there are some things that I do. I've already started planning Fall Fest. Our Fall Fest doesn't happen until October, and it's mid-July, and I'm already in contact with multiple people lining things up for our Fall Fest because, for us, for example, we paint pumpkins at Fall Fest. So Fall Fest is a giant fall festival. It's supposed to kick off the school year for the fall season. And what we do is we do paint pumpkins. So we get decent-sized pumpkins. College students get them for free. They walk up. They get a pumpkin. They go sit at a table. They can paint their pumpkin. We provide the paint supplies. We provide the pumpkins. We have some local places that donate sweet tea. McAllister's donates a lot of sweet tea to us. We have a live band that comes out now. We do kettle corn, and we have these large tents, and we do these old school lights that we string out, and it really looks like a very cool scene, and we have straw bales that go out. It went from literally at SIUE being one of a small campus that nobody knew about, small campus event, that it is now one of the things that last year the chancellor of SIUE came out to our event and volunteered at it, and we didn't even invite him. But he saw it on campus as he was leaving work that day. He was like, what is this event? And I said, this is Fall Fest, you know? And we explained it. He's like, is this a campus event? I said, no, this is a campus ministry event. Like, we run this ourselves. We didn't get help from the university. That's something we'll talk about a little bit later down the road. But essentially, it became one of the smallest events on campus that I guarantee you now, we've talked about it on the university, it is the largest event that SIUE holds. But SIUE doesn't hold it. We do. It has grown to such a tremendous, and that takes a lot of time and planning because I tell you right now, my first few years, I learned a lot of lessons. It wasn't something that just kind of came. We learned a lot of things, but pregame, planning things in advance, a lot of things. One, you find better deals. For us, finding pumpkins has been a nightmare, but we find pumpkins a lot cheaper when we can buy them in bulk in advance. One year, I remember Wes and I we ran out of pumpkins and we had to go to Walmart and buy Walmart out of pumpkins. And I'll tell you right now, pumpkins aren't cheap at Walmart. They are at the farm, but not at Walmart. But they were able to cut us a deal, though, and we threw everything in Wes's truck, and we brought it back up because we just used them so quick. But you'll find a lot of better deals. You'll get better notice for people to be there. Like, if you have a hard time with your ministry actually showing up to events, if you can give them a good date and have a solid date and time, they're going to be able to call off for those events. You're going to have a whole unified front to have your ministry there in advance. There's a lot of more hype and excitement that you can build with things done in advance. If you guys can have things lined up in advance, there's a lot of more hype that your ministry can get out and get the word out. Advertisement, you can advertise a whole lot much more if you get things in advance. At SIUE, we have to have paperwork that we fill out weeks in advance before we can't just go up and be like, hey, can you run something in your ads this week? It doesn't work like that. We have to do it weeks and weeks in advance so that they have it set in stone. Joyce is one of our girls on campus. She really helped us out this year because she found out a way for us to be able to get a text sent to every student in the entire university. They got an e-alert, which is whatever we call SIUE. Every student got a text that looked at their phone and said, Fall Fest is happening tonight at 6 p.m. 13,000 students got that text. And we would have never known about that kind of stuff. But the more time we have to plan for these things, you'll get more volunteers. If you guys need helpers and you need aid from your church, you'll get more volunteers if they have more notice. And so there's a lot of pregame. I don't know about you guys, but us, we have to fund our own events. SIUE and our universities, they don't give us money for our events. And I know a lot of deep pockets, but we don't. We started a church plant, like I said, with like 30 people, 10 of them, 8 to 10 of them being college kids. We didn't have no money, you know? So our pregame is very important because we've been doing fundraisers all summer and we still have more lined up. We do fundraisers to raise money for our big events, our Fall Fest. So it doesn't come out of the college pockets. It doesn't come out of the church pockets. It comes out of our college students serving and volunteering at fundraisers to raise funds so that whenever we come to a Fall Fest, we don't have to be under the school's authority to run it the way that they want to run it. We can run it how we want to run it. And we don't have to have our church go into a hole because we got to borrow their money because we don't need to use their money. We have some hardworking college students that want to be diligent and raise this money themselves and serve because this is their event at the end of the day. And if they really want to make it run well, they have a role in that as well to do some things. But you can't do a lot of that stuff last minute. We have to plan the stuff out in advance. And once all that stuff is kind of started and planned from a minister's perspective, now we're going to talk a little bit about the students, because once it's all ready and set to go, your students need to hit it like crazy. You need to send your students out and do as much as they can to help these events be ran well. We encourage our students to go out to the college university and ask their professors if they can invite the whole class. You know, if you ever had a student get in front of the class or ask the professor, hey, we have an event coming up next weekend, and I was wanting to know if I could just get up in front of the class after you were done talking and just invite the class of 100 people to my event. You know, there's a lot of people that can be reached that way. We talk it up at the lunch tables. If you guys have lunch tables at a university, there's lots of opportunities to sit and have lunch with your friends and your peers to invite and just make sure it's in our language now. It's in our dialogue. Fall Fest, once the semester hits for us in the fall, Fall Fest is in our dialogue. It's in our language. It's always being brought up. Anytime you're talking to somebody, hey, you going to Fall Fest? Hey, you going to Fall Fest? And we talk about that, and we make sure that it becomes a normal thing, that it's like almost like you're not cool if you don't go to Fall Fest. You know, like it's such a norm now that everybody goes to Fall Fest that it becomes like a cultural thing for our people. Chalking cars for our students. We have them chalk our cars. What does that mean? Well, we get those bingo marker chalks, and you advertise, free advertisement, right? You ain't got to pay for it. Every college student chalks up their car, Fall Fest, this night, this location, this time. They can't tell you to take it down. It's your personal property. But where do you park your car at? In a parking lot with thousands of other college students. They have to walk by your car. And if you're the only ones that got words on it, they're probably going to read your car because it looks out. You know, it's just free advertisement. But you can't do that the day of. These are all things that can be done in advance to make things look well. Social media, don't ask me. Ask my wife or my college students because I'm not very good at it. You know, I delegate some things out that I have no clue on. I'm so glad that we reached some of our girls like Joyce and Marcus. And Marcus ain't a girl, but he's somebody we reached. But, you know, Carly, I see a lot of you guys back there. Bella, like a lot of you guys, Ari, like you guys, our college students run our social media platforms because they do it so much better than me. I don't want to control everything about the campus ministry. I just want the campus ministry to be the best that it can be. And if that's going to happen, it's going to mean that I need to delegate things out to things that I don't know.
Well, because whenever we're thinking about that, of the fact like, yeah, as leaders, I think one of our goals is to really equip our students with all the tools necessary in order to build these connections with people that they probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to before. Sorry, that sentence, one breath, you know? Okay, so that is our goal. We want to create more opportunity. And so I think that with what we're doing, we take away the pre so that we can depend on these students who already have like, oh yeah, they are more social media inclined. They are on campus. They are in this currently lifestyle and they are in a bunch of these different classes. But like we make sure that they understand like the intent of, okay, so the reason why we're doing this though is to create more opportunity. And that is a lot in like the conversations that we have as well.
Mm-hmm. Never dismiss the power of a paper invite. Those are still useful. We do mass inviting on a college campus where we'll have our church print out thousands of flyers, and we tend to hand those out. We're pretty strategic with those. We tend to do those within a week before, and we normally do it the day of and the day before. And once again, like I said, thinking things in advance, most college students either have classes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday and Thursday. So we don't do it on Monday and Wednesday. We don't do it Tuesday, Thursday. We try to do a Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, so we're hitting both groups of students. And they'll stand outside with paper invites. Hey, Fall Fest is tonight. Fall Fest is tonight. Fall Fest is tonight. Or the day before, hey, Fall Fest is tomorrow. Fall Fest is tomorrow. Because, you know, college students, they don't plan well. That doesn't mean we can't, you know, because if they're like, I ain't got nothing to do tonight, well, then come to Fall Fest. You know, there's so many last-minute invites that you might catch people at. If we're doing setup on the day of the event and there's nothing to do, we send our college students back up into the campus and say, go find people to bring down with you this time. And so that's a lot of the pre-stuff that happens during an event. And you would think, like, on any event, whether it's small or big, they're like, there's not a lot of stuff that can be done beforehand. There's a whole lot of stuff that can be done beforehand. And it's important for us to make sure that we are delegating what we can as leaders and ministers, but that we're owning our ministry as students and disciples, that we're doing everything we can to make sure that the event can be ran well when the time comes. The minister should be just as involved as the students when it comes to that kind of stuff as well. I know a lot of times ministers tend to delegate everything out and then they just kind of show up and take the credit, but the minister should be the people that have their feet on the ground as well, that they should be out there inviting in. And I get it, you know, ministers, we are married and some of us have kids and we have other responsibilities, so our time may be limited, but there's still an example that we set with the small amount of time that we still can have on campus, and once again, delegating and giving those responsibilities off to other people. Now, let's talk about during the event. The event is here, it's running. What should the expectations be of us while we're running this event?
Okay, so during the event, I know whether big or small. So I think a Fall Fest, and when there's 1,500 people around, like, it can be very overwhelming. But I also feel the very same way when it comes to cross chat, and there's 40 people in my house, and it's very loud, and I feel overstimulated. And so one of the things that I do, like I said, remembering to always depend on God. So taking a few minutes before we start of, like, okay, let's focus, let's pray, let's remember that, like, we are very God-focused in this manner in trying to see the opportunities that are before us. So I do think that is, like, the important first step. Next step, I want everyone to know whenever you're going into these settings, and this is something that we communicate with our people, this is something that I even try to communicate with my kids, of, okay, so there is literally no way that you're going to connect to every person in this room, and if you try to be a social butterfly, like, that's great and dandy, but I think that's kind of a waste of your time. Like, okay, let's focus in on 2 to 3 people of, let's try to get a good conversation going. Let's build a connection, that common ground of, okay, how can I find that person? And typically, like, I'm going very practical here. So whenever I'm talking to strangers, whenever I'm trying to, like, introduce myself, any of the above, if they have a tattoo, I will talk about their tattoos. Clearly, I'm a tattooed goddess up here.
It's true.
Okay, so I'll talk about tattoos. If there's somebody that, like, I notice has, like, a really cute shoes on, I'll be like, oh, I really love your shoes. Talking about, like, maybe a compliment to introduce myself. And just trying to, like, kind of find the common ground. Maybe TV shows, books, those are things that I typically enjoy. If it's a person that's got, like, legs of steel that it's very obvious, I'll talk about our squats. I'll be like, hey man, what are you squatting these days? What's your back squat? What's your front squat? Can I match it? Maybe, probably.
Katie's really good at, like, awkwardly inserting herself into a new conversation.
I'm looking for my gym bros no matter where I go.
Yeah.
That's whatever I try to do. Just seeing those opportunities of things that, like, are my hobbies, are my interests, and kind of going from there. And it's not always going to flow there, and sometimes you do kind of got to work for it. But putting yourself out there and making sure you remember it. So getting those 2 to 3 people that you're building a connection with. And I think one of the most important things that I want everyone to always remember is that you're going to walk away with a contact information. You don't want to throw this giant event and think, okay, we brought in 1,500 people. Okay, we brought in 40 people into our house. But then what's next? Did you get anything that, like, you guys can go on a walk? Did you set up, like, a coffee date with this person? Did you have any kind of contact information that you can talk to them again? And I know sometimes for me it's like, no, I got scared, or it didn't feel like a natural, like, movement into the conversation. And then it's kind of a missed opportunity, and it, like, a waste of all the funds and all the times that we've just put into that. So making sure that we are building up those connections, we are building a way to have that follow-up within those people that we have connected with, and making sure that we are really just being intentional with that time spent. Another thing that I want to talk about too is whenever we are in these settings, whether it be something like cross chat, whether it be like a movie night at the house, or our larger events, we want to make sure that, like, people aren't just sticking with other members of the campus ministry. And it'll be like 6 people just standing next to each other or in a circle of, like, oh, but they're having a good time. Like, it's very evident that they, like, love each other, and I think that's great, but that's just not the purpose of it. Our purpose is to seek and save the lost. And so I think we really do want to think of it in a biblical manner of like, okay, if you need to take a friend, which I think is a good approach, take a friend, but go make sure that you are meeting the new faces. Go make sure you're putting yourself out there to build up the connections with people that don't know God yet. Like, don't just use this opportunity to speak to people that you probably already see 4 to 5 times a week and that you're already connected with quite a bit. Sorry, will you go ahead?
Yeah. And, you know, like she said, just we don't want to waste the event. And so making sure that we are having people call us people out. Your ministers, it's, you know, if you're a minister of a campus ministry, in some ways, I hate saying it, but like you still are a babysitter in some ways. And if you want your ministry to go well, you have to make sure you stay on top of your students to make sure that they are reminded of their purpose at these events. You can't just sit back and enjoy the event and be like, it's finally done. I did all my pregame stuff. Now it's all on them. It is on them, but like it's still our responsibility to be like, hey, like break it up, go talk to people. You know, like, hey, have you got anybody? Or hey, actually, I just met somebody. Why don't you come with me? And like you're still on the ground as well with these people and just making sure that you're doing that as well.
And I do want to say one of the things that I'm very grateful for within our church is knowing like who the event is geared towards. Mm-hmm. So we think of Fall Fest, and obviously we want all of our college students to be able to be on the field in the mission on the war zone of like, okay, this is your focus. You're going to go focus on those people. So we don't necessarily want them all serving on the things that we need, because we need people that are serving the foods, people that are helping hand out pumpkins, cleaning up, all that stuff. So I'm very grateful for the fact that we do have a church that's been so supportive. And so we'll have adults that are with Jake from like noon the day of until like 10 p.m. or later that night, with making sure that everything is running smoothly so that the campus students can really focus on their event. And I think it's very similar even for our fall spectacular that we do within the church. Like, that's designated for adults and families. So what we want to do as college students is serve in that one. So really making sure that like we have the appropriate people available to build those connections at that time, and just being intentional in how our mindset is. Like, we want to make sure that we're using our resources in the best way possible.
Yeah. Y'all need to get yourselves a Reggie Conley in your church. Reggie Conley is one of those men that Kay talked about, that every year for Fall Fest, he shows up at my house at like 9 or 10 a.m. with a trailer and a truck, and then I get my trailer on my truck, and we go around the town, and we go pick up the pumpkins, we drop them off on campus, then we go pick up the straw bales, we drop them off on campus, then we go pick up the light towers, and we drop them off on campus, and we have college students there unloading everything so we can keep running back and forth. And then at the end of the night, we're cleaning everything up, and we're bringing things back to the church. We're bringing things back to my house, taking all the trash back. And then, you know, he's leaving my house sometimes. This last year, he left at like midnight or 1 a.m. I'm watching his truck drive away, and then he's back the next day at 8 a.m. so we can get the next round of things, because some of those businesses were already closed that night before. And I love Reggie Conley to death, and he's a great man. And I hope that for our college students, at least, you see that you don't take the things granted that your adults do for you to make your stuff happen. Reggie Conley this year, he actually called me the next day and he says, I couldn't even lay in bed. I was cramping so much, I slept in my chair. You know? I love Reggie Conley to death, man. And to watch the man work the way that he works because he wants souls to be saved. No man that's retired would live like that. No man that's retired would live in that kind of world for college students. But that dude works night and day for this event because he knows how much it can do to impact people around us. And sometimes for college students, we take those things for granted that our churches choose to serve us in, and we just blow off all the opportunities that are right in front of us because we have something more fun that we'd rather do or something that's right in front of us. And I'm kind of getting off touch here for a minute, but I think it's important for you guys to know, like, there's a lot of things. I think that the younger generation, just in general, is an ungrateful generation. And it's not because it's your generation. I just think when I was young, I was ungrateful as well. So any generation that is young, you just happen to be in that generation right now. And I think for some of us, we have to take a step back and realize how many people put so much time and effort into a ministry surviving. But it only survives if you do your job. I tell my college kids this stuff every year. When it comes to Fall Fest, during the event, your job is to meet people and get follow-up to seek and save the lost. Our adults will take care of everything else. And we do the same thing with our church events. We say the same thing to our church adults whenever we do an adult event in our church. We're saying, you know what? You know, our adult leaders say the same things. We say, our college students are going to run this event at the church. You adults, it's your job to meet and seek and save the lost. We're going to serve you. And I think it's important for us because the most ungrateful thing you guys can do when an event is going on is not do your job. And I think if everything was doing well and we go well at these things, our churches and our campus ministries will have a huge impact on the lost and hurting world around us, and everybody's resources will be used the way that they were intended to be used rather than other people, the ungratefulness happening, and then things getting lost in translation. Now, the most important part is the post. We talked about pregame, we talked about the event itself. The postgame is the most important part of practical outreach, practical event planning, practical just campus ministry events in general. Because if you do not get phone numbers, if you do not enlist your members of your or your disciples in your ministries to get phone numbers or Snapchats or Instagrams or any kind of follow-up, the whole point of the event was pointless. The whole intention, the whole purpose was just completely lost. And I don't know how many times this has happened in our churches. It happens all the time. We have these little chains that happen in our like group chats where it's like, hey, anybody meet anybody tonight? And you'll see like tons of people. Oh, I met this girl named Melissa. She's so cool. And we kicked it off really well. And some guy's like, oh man, I met this guy named Mike. And we talked for like 3 hours and it was a great event and all this stuff. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool. So like, what's the plan? And like, oh, I didn't get any numbers. Oh, I didn't get any follow-up. I was just, maybe I'll run into him again on campus sometime. And we'll be like, hey man, remember how cool event that was? You know? And a lot of times that happens where there's not an intentionality of you have to get follow-up contact if an event is going to be done well. If you don't have anything to follow through with somebody, be like, you know what, let's go get coffee, let's go get some snacks, let's go get dinner, let's go watch this show, let's go see a movie. If there's none of that happening, then the event was a waste. And so it's important for us to remember that there has to be a follow-up plan. Think about even Acts 2, right? You think about the Pentecost, you think about literally, a giant event happened. The crowds were gathered. That was a large-scale event. But what happened in Acts 2 after that event? They followed up with those people. They continued to meet in their homes. And then what happened? It continued to grow. And the whole idea of creating practical outreach events on your college campuses and ministries is to create those followings, like in Acts 2, those gatherings, we can make those happen. That's what we just talked about. But if there's no purpose or there's no intentionality on the follow-up, you're never going to have the ladder of Acts 2 where they continue to grow. Have you ever seen a college kid be like, man, went to a frat party, I'm like, man, that was a great party. And all they have is a memory. Oh, that was a great thing that happened. Our events aren't meant to be memories, guys. If you get anything from this lesson, get this. The events that we plan as campus ministries are not meant to be ministries. They are meant to be benchmarks and pillars of a person's walk with Christ. They are meant to be things they say, oh, that was a great party. I remember that. That was awesome. They're meant to say, that's where my relationship with God started. That's where it started for me. And the only way that happens is if you do your part to create the follow-up opportunities that lead them to the next generation or the next step. And so with our small groups or our church, we have follow-up events already planned after the big events. With a fall fest that draws thousands of people, our small groups already have an event planned for that weekend that they are inviting people to at Fall Fest. Saying, man, this is a great event at Fall Fest. Nice to meet you. Hey, actually, me and a couple of my buddies, we're going to Six Flags this weekend. You want to come with us this weekend? The event's already planned, and they've already got something on their radar to create something to draw them away from the larger crowd into a more intentional crowd with maybe one of the smaller groups in the campus ministry. And it's not always a huge campus ministry event that's the follow-up, but our campus ministry, for example, has about 40 students, and we have about 3 small groups, and those small groups all individually have their different events that they invite to. So when they invite somebody, maybe a certain percentage of our ministry is going to Six Flags, but maybe there's another group that's going out to Dave and Buster's, and maybe there's another group that's having a movie night at their house, and they're pulling them off campus, pulling them out of the big events to create the smaller events. And those smaller events are there to create life change, and ultimately our goal is to invite them to Cross Chat. And most of you guys know what Cross Chat is, but for some of you guys that don't, that's our evangelistic outreach night that we tend to have a Bible study that's more of a Bible discussion. It's not very deep. It's not very theological. It's very inviting to just look at what a relationship with God could do for your life, what a relationship with God could be useful for in a college setting. And it's meant to inspire people to seek something out with God a little bit more. We don't do that at Fall Fest. We don't do that at Six Flags. But there's conversations that may happen there that lead them to maybe a cross chat. And maybe at cross chat, they hear a little bit more that will lead them to maybe wanting to walk through a Bible study, which is one of the courses that we're talking about back there, the Way of Discipleship, which you will be recording. You guys can listen to that stuff as well. But our whole goal on the follow-up is to connect in that way.
Yeah, I think just like the whole picture of things. So whenever we do think of large events, I remember there was one time that it was Carrie at a Refocus retreat, and it was like, who here was reached at the Root Beer Kegger? And there weren't that many hands, honestly. But it was like, okay, who here's first like connection was a cross chat? Mm-hmm. And almost like the majority of the room's hands went up. So I know, like obviously, we clearly love our Fall Fest event, but we also implement the cross chats every week that are opportunities for people. And people obviously make their personal connections that they do stuff throughout the week, not just the Tuesday nights. But that's something that we obviously need to take advantage of as well. Like, don't forget the purpose behind your cross chats. I think this is something that I'm actually really grateful for, in the sense that we have three small kids that are able to see the campus ministry, because TC and Maria, like I said, they really hit the head on the nail of like, there's a lot of opportunities that are placed in this camp and in the campus ministry in general that I think wouldn't necessarily be showcased in another ministry. It's just the sense of like, we consistently have probably like 40 people in and out of our house on Tuesday nights. And they're not always the same faces. Like typically we're seeing new faces every week. And my kids, like they look at this and they're like, okay, this is going to be a good time. Like I can't wait to party and hang out with everybody and eat a lot of good time or good food. And so every year, it's almost like every August time, or it's probably September that we have our first cross chat. So every September, like the first cross chat that we have, it's always that conversation of, okay, what is the purpose of our cross chat? Why are we doing this? Is it for you just to have a good time? And my kids know at this point, like, no, it's not for them. It's not for them to just jump and run around the couch and stuff, but it's to provide an opportunity for other people to see God and God's love. And I am very grateful for the fact that, like, because I'm a church kid. So there's certain things that I was protected from. Jake wasn't. He didn't grow up in the church in that sense. But my kids, obviously, in my head, second generational church kids. So they're going to think that everybody has this life. And that's not the case. And so I'm really grateful that we have people that are very open. And I do think of our friend Audrey. She's not here right now. But I remember there was a time then she gave her testimony inside our church's newsletter. And I was able to go over it with my kids of like, she talked about feeling so lonely. She talked about how like she never had anybody that like she felt like cared about her. But because of the fact that we open up our home and we have these weekly things that we're inviting these 40 plus college students to, she's able to see God's love, and she's able to have friendships and family and value herself. And that wouldn't have been possible. So I'm glad that I'm able to talk to my kids. They hopefully have like that empathetic heart of knowing there's a purpose in this. It's not just that we're opening the homes and trying to have a good time, but we really are trying to break cycles of a broken world.
Yeah, and that puts it casts the vision and plants a seed in our kids' heads to dream that maybe one day they'll be able to be at a cross chat and invite their friends, and one day they may live and invite college kids into their homes, and one day maybe they'll have college kids live with them, or they'll have college kids on their family vacations and things like that, because they see it modeled that our whole life is accompanied. You know, campus ministry is not a job, it's a way of life, and your whole life is encompassed in the ministry that you serve in. But you know, the last thing with those events that we want to talk about was just the best way that we do follow-up, and we keep that, you know, because as a minister, you're like, well, how do I know that my people are doing follow-up? How can I keep track and hold my students and my ministry accountable? Well, we do something called whiteboard within our small groups at our church. And what we do on whiteboard essentially is we literally get a physical whiteboard, and we write down the names of the people that our small group members are reaching out to. Okay, Johnny, who are you reaching out to? I met this guy this weekend named Mike at the event. All right, Mike's going on the board. All right, and what's your plan to follow up with him? Well, actually, there's this fight night this weekend, and we're going to invite him out to that. Okay, and we write that down. And then even as people start studying the Bible, we say the same things. All right, well, this person actually, he's been coming to Cross Chat, and we started studying the Bible. All right, what study are you guys on? All right, and then we talk about the study. All right, so the plan is, are you planning on this week getting together with him? And so that way you can create some immediate follow-up with these people and immediate accountability. Be like, hey, next week we got back together. Hey, let's look through this list again. What's happened with this guy? Oh, I forgot to text him. All right, man. Well, let's try it this week. Let's make sure we stay on top of that. Or what happened with the study? Oh, it didn't happen. You know, and it's a good way to create some instantaneous post-game follow-up opportunities to keep your ministry running and growing. Because I don't know about you guys, but like me, I got a lot of stuff going on in life. And it's easy to forget about other people. And it's very hard to kind of manage and juggle every little aspect of life. And so when we have some more accountability with how we're reaching out to people and how we're following up with people, sometimes you need that. It's not meant to be like the systematic thing, but the more things that you can put in place to help your people stay on task, the more people are going to be saved. Would you rather somebody be forgotten about all semester, or would you rather have something in place to help hold your people accountable that those people are still being looked after? You know, I'm pretty sure I'd have the latter on that one, and I would rather be checked in on from time to time if I was a lost person than somebody just forget about me. You know, so there's so many things that can go into place with that, and what's really cool about that whiteboard is some people look at that and they're like, man, that's kind of creepy. You're writing other people's names on a board, but one of the coolest things is when you watch somebody like an Audrey or whoever come into the ministry and sit in that first small group, and they're like, what's a whiteboard? And you're like, let me show you, and they're like, what? Why is my name on there? Well, because we prayed for you and we held people accountable to be relational with you and people wanted to invest with you. And what's cool now is that we're going to take your name off that board and you're going to add new names to that board. And you're going to repeat this cycle and you're going to go through the pregame of events. You're going to run these events. You're going to do some follow with people and you're going to have new people on that whiteboard. And then one day, maybe somebody will be in this room that you reached out to and they're going to say, why is my name on that board? And that's the whole purpose of disciples making disciples that make disciples. And guys, if you do it with the right heart, you do it with the right mindset, and you do it with the right direction, you can do some awesome things practically on your guys' college campuses. There's so many things that you guys can do. We got just a few minutes. Does anybody have any questions on outreach, on events, on anything that we've talked about today that maybe you written out or jotted down? Any questions that you guys wanted to bring up? Guess we just did that good, huh? Nope. Well, if you got any questions on any events that we do, like we ran through like 15 or 20 different events that we did. Katie talked about the flower war. If you've ever seen a flower war like set up, it looks like a drug cartel. Like it looks like they're scooping these flower bombs into these things. It looks crazy, but the memories are insane. We have something called Glow in the Dark Bracelet Tag. We do Fall Fest, the kegger that has been done so well at Wentzville for so long. That one's done. We've done dodgeball on ice. I'm sure you want to know about that one. We have lots of events. I used to be a PE teacher. My whole like life was just building games that were fun for people. So to bring that into a ministry aspect is like, it's like the best job that I could have ever asked for. Some work well, some are terrible, but you know, Ashley in the high school ministry lets me experiment on the high school kids at camps all the time, and it's the greatest thing ever. But if you have any questions on ideas of what could work well with your campus ministry, your numbers, your campus influence, like whatever the campus will let you do, come talk to me and let's connect you guys some cool things. But I appreciate your guys' time today. And then I'm going to say a prayer, and I think that we're going to be doing lunch until 3, okay? So let me pray, and then you guys are dismissed. Is lunch here, or are they going out today? I can't remember. They're going out? Tomorrow's here, right? Okay. So tomorrow's, somebody said out and here. So today you're on your own. Tomorrow we'll have lunch provided. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the opportunity just to have different events, just be able to do different things and trial different things. And God, every ministry looks a little different. Every college campus looks a little different. Every event looks a little different. Every background is a little different. But God, the design is the same. The intent is the same. It's always universally meant to be, no matter what we do practically to reach out to people. The whole point is to seek and save the lost and bring them closer to you, God. And I pray that as we learn new resources, we workshop new ideas, and we look at different things that we can do in our ministry, we always keep it on our hearts and at the centers of our minds that everything that we're doing, God, is to glorify you and to reach people, to let them see you for who you really are so it can change and transform their lives, but then they can get that right back to the next generation, God. So no matter what we learn from today, from this lesson, from any of our other lessons, God, I pray that we keep that at the center of our hearts, that we desperately want to be close to you, and we want to do anything and everything we can to get other people close to you, Lord. And I thank you for this so much. Be with us at lunch today. Bless our meals that we're about to go out eat. Help us be able to connect with one another and spend more time with one another and socialize and just talk about some cool things that are going on in our churches, Lord. But thank you again for your son. Thank you for Jesus so much. Thank you for the opportunity to be at the Crossings here. And thank you for this conference, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.